We've heard for a long time the concern of American businesses about China stealing their technology. The director of the National Security Agency now says China's industrial espionage program is the greatest transfer of wealth in history. Case in point, the Massachusetts-based American Superconductor Corporation, or AMSC. They design software that makes turbines run. They partnered with the Chinese company Sinovel Wind Group to build the turbines. Then last year, a semi-trailer of ASMC electronic components that had been ordered by Sinovel were turned away at the gate to a Sinovel factory. The factory didn't need them because they were making their own with stolen technology, erasing 40% of the American company's value in one day. Now AMSC is suing Sinovel in China for a total of $1.2 billion for breach of contract, copyright infringement, and theft of trade secrets. It's a fascinating story, and Michael Riley tells it in Bloomberg. Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about how this was discovered. It's how your story begins. You had AMSC American technicians in the Gobi Desert crawling into a wind turbine in China trying to figure out, you know, why it's not working the way they want it to, and what do they find?
The funny thing about this particular turbine is it was a test turbine, and it was running code made by American Superconductor, and that code had a clock on it that was supposed to shut off the turbine after a test period. So the fact that the turbine was running was strange. They opened the turbine door at the base of it, and they climbed 230 feet to the top. It's quite a climb. It's exhausting. They upload the code that's inside, and they send that code to Austria, which is where the company's research lab is based. What they find is that, in fact, the turbine was running a version of the code that had been altered. They could tell that somebody within the lab had actually done the altering of the code. They find that somebody who had worked for American Superconductor in that lab had sold, effectively, for a pretty large bribe, the source code, which was the keys to basically that technology.
Okay, so now we are deep into this John le Carré novel. You know, it just is, it's an amazing story. You've already taken us from China to Austria. The reason some of this technology was in Austria is that American Superconductor CEO Daniel McGahn wasn't a stranger to doing business in Asia or to the dangers of dealing with Chinese companies. He'd taken incredible precautions. What are some of the things that he did?
That's one of the fascinating things about this story. American Superconductor started been started in the 80s by four Massachusetts Institute of Technology professors. It was based around a certain technology, superconducting material. It never really made a profit. So when McGahn was brought in, he basically looked around and saw that one aspect of the business was building effectively the brains of wind turbines. He looked at China. You could see that China's wind market was about to take off. They had passed a green energy law that mandated a certain level of energy production from renewable sources. It has turned China into the hottest wind market on the globe.
Well, in fact, you note that in 2009, and you cite a U.S. wind industry report, a new turbine was going up in China every hour.
Yes, that's right. It's actually a pretty incredible market there. McGahn basically architected AMSC to try and take advantage of that, partnering with Chinese companies. He knew that this was going to be a risky venture, though. Chinese companies are known for trying to cut out their foreign partners after a certain time, often using technology transfer agreements. So he set up the company in a way to protect its most valuable secrets, which is effectively the technology, especially the source code.
Yeah.
He basically made sure that the high-value technology was made in either the facility in Austria or in facilities in the United States and shipped into a China facility. For the first 40 employees, he interviewed about 400 people himself. He was looking for people that he could trust. So they took a lot of time and a lot of care to create a system where they would be insulated from theft.
Well, except you could do all of this, isolate your servers in Austria, but then people enter the picture. And it turns out, as you say, that there was one employee that couldn't resist a bribe. This was a Serbian software engineer who worked in the facility in Austria. But make the connection. What happened? How did China get in touch with him?
So this particular employee was a key employee in the research center that made a lot of the code, again, that creates the brain for these wind turbines. His name was Dejan Karabasovic. He had a lot of contact with American Superconductor's partners in China. He would spend a lot of time in China. And as he describes in his confession, at some point, Sinovel and its employees begin to court him. They talk to him about how hard he works. They want to make sure that he's taken care of. Is his salary big enough? And they slowly, over a process, get to the point where they offer him a job and about $1.6 million for what would effectively be a consulting job over 5 or 6 years. The catch, though, is that they basically, implicitly or explicitly, wanted him to bring with them the secrets to American superconductor technology, which they could use to basically make these parts, these key parts of the wind turbine themselves.
Corporations are always courting other people, hoping to get some inside baseball or contacts and things like that. But in this case, once they had the technology, they're building things themselves, and you paint the scene of tractor trailers literally pulling up with the equipment that had been ordered, and it's being turned away because Sinovel already has it. It's pretty, I mean, as you say, faces turned white as ghosts and hearts drop because they knew, the American company knew what had happened.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that makes this a little more dramatic is that Dan McGann's plan had actually worked out really well. American Superconductor had grown quickly, had grown quite profitably, but had done it basically through a partnership with one customer, and that customer was Sinovel. By the time the theft was uncovered, Sinovel represented about 70% of the total revenues of this American company. McGann now recognizes and will admit that they had a customer, what Wall Street calls a customer concentration problem, relying too much on one particular customer. So when Sinovel stops paying them for shipments, they're trying to work out this dispute. They keep sending things. And then at late March of last year, when the semi-truck of load of components shows up at the gates, the guards come out and essentially say, you know what, we're not taking this stuff. That becomes a huge problem. They have to make an announcement to the market. Their shares drop dramatically. And that begins the process where they finally discover what was actually going on.
There's no question that this happened. There are email trails showing that China courted the employee and then paid him to help with stealing the code. So there's no question about that. But what? You now have AMSC deciding to sue Sinovel in Chinese courts. Is there any sense that anything will come of that?
There's definitely a home field advantage for Sinovel, and some of the investors in it are connected to the highest levels of China's leadership now. There is a possible twist here, though. You have to keep in mind that this comes in the context where there are rising chorus of voices suggesting that China does this on a large scale. There's a report issued last year by a collection of 14 U.S. intelligence agencies that said that the theft of intellectual property from American and European companies had essentially become part of the economic model of China. Mm. The theft of intellectual property is a historical phenomenon. America did it during the Industrial Revolution. They would send people into British factories, and they'd make drawings, and they'd come back, and they'd recreate the machinery there. What's different about this is that China is a bit of a luck of timing. China is trying to sort of advance its economy to a level of the strongest and most innovative in the world at a time when everything is on a server somewhere. Basically, every company's secrets, all of its most vital pieces of intellectual property. You started the interview with a quote from the head of the NSA. When he says this is the greatest transfer of wealth in history, that's what he's talking about.
And Michael, Senator John Kerry, chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is saying how China responds to this is going to be central to how they respond to other issues of concern between the two countries. This has been historically done. Americans lifted patents from British factories. The Soviet Union and East Germans stole U.S. computer and chip designs during the Cold War. South Korea steals from Japan and vice versa. So is there thinking that maybe this is just tough luck?
You know, I think that China probably sees it this way. You know, they probably see this as something that's done in order to help China advance and the Chinese economy advance. And, you know, if the U.S. and U.S. companies can't protect their secrets, that's their problem. But that's what makes this case potentially explosive and potentially a pretty big deal in terms of the U.S.-China relationship, is it's coming at a time when there's a lot of accusations of the theft of intellectual property, of company secrets going on, that China is somehow cheating at this great game of global competition. A lot of that's very hard to prove, though. Hacking, you know, is one of the difficulties is you can see that stuff is stolen, but it's very difficult to tell who stole it. Maybe you can get back to some command and control servers back in China, but who sits ultimately at the keyboard? who knows? What's fascinating, and I think in some ways unique about this case, is that there is a long trail of evidence. Because it dealt with an insider, and because that insider handed in a company computer that had a long trail of evidence, he thought that he had erased it, but it's very difficult, in fact, to clean a hard drive completely. When American Superconductor did this investigation, they were able to recover thousands of messages. Hundreds of them dealt, in fact, with the theft of the code. One of them was an email that had the source code attached to the email and was sent to a Sinovel employee. There's a good deal of, as John Kerry points out, smoking gun evidence in this case. And I think that that's why this case has risen to the level it has, because it's hard to deny that the theft took place. It's hard to deny its significance. And the question now for both American Superconductor, for Sinovel, for both China and the United States is, what do they do with that? Does China make this an example of how they're willing to crack down on this kind of theft? Or do they try and protect Sinovel, which, after all, is one of the largest wind power companies in the world and, in fact, is a very significant player in the Chinese economy?
Well, and why don't they do a third thing, which is create their own technology? You quote the CEO of the American company, Daniel McGann, as saying, gee, I thought we had a symbiotic relationship, China's low manufacturing cost coupled with Western technology. I'm sure no one thinks that that equation is going to last. You do the low-paid, dirty factory work and we'll have the technology. Why hasn't this equation changed? Why are they so reliant still on American technology?
Economists would say that China right now is in a transition. They're moving from an economy that over the last 20 years has been built on making other people's stuff. They make the iPad, they make the iPhone. A lot of companies are building things, assembling things in China because of the availability of cheap labor. China, though, has a much more long-term plan. They want to move from what is essentially an assembly of other people's stuff kind of economy to one that innovates, one that has companies that are leaders in sectors, that are competitive on a global level. That's not an easy thing to do, though. It's taken, the advanced post-industrial economies, the U.S. and Europe, decades, hundreds of years, and often to get to that point. China wants to accelerate that process and do it in 2 to 3 decades. One of their plans, though, is to move to a point where they've got technology that they can build, but there's this possibility that there's a stopgap in the middle where they're stealing other people's technology in order to sort of close the gap, shorten the time frame. I mean, effectively, if you're looking at the big picture from China's point of view, what they're trying to do is boost the economy to a level where it's Chinese companies and Chinese engineers that are making and selling this stuff. And if they're going to push out their American or EU partners to do it, that's just part of the climb.
No. Well, meanwhile, how is the American Superconductor Corporation faring? Suing in Chinese courts, lost their biggest client. You've got a CEO who had thought he was a Sinophile. How are they doing?
That's the other thing that makes this case so dramatic, in part because they had grown quickly through this partnership with Sinovel and fallen very quickly after Sinovel pulls out of it. It's a story of a company that comes close to disaster. Right now, American Superconductor is in a phase of rebuilding. One of the things they recognize they need to do is to widen their customer base. They're looking at relationships in India. They're looking at relationships in Russia. They're trying to take the same model that they used in China and go to other places in the world. And they're also hoping to win a substantial amount of money through this legal process in China. They're basically after more than $1 billion in recompense for the theft of its technology. Interestingly enough, Sinovel's in a bit of a tough position as well. I don't think this theft was as well thought out, perhaps, as it should have been. Maybe they never thought they were going to get caught. But the problem now is they've got source code and technology that allows them to run these wind turbine brains themselves. But if they try and export wind turbines with that technology in it, it allows American Superconductor to sue in those venues as well. So it makes it very hard for them to sell on the global market, which is the only place that Sinovel now is going to grow. In fact, one of their biggest and first foreign contracts, one with an Irish wind farm, was canceled right after this theft was made public. And so now they're in a bit of a pinch as well.
Michael Riley of Bloomberg News. To read his story, China Corporate Espionage Boom Knocks Wind Out of U.S. Companies, go to hearandnow.org. Michael, thanks so much.
You're welcome.